Welcome to our Saturday simulcast. It's actually Sunday morning where we are. It's a little after 12:30 after the Boilermakers. For Purdue fans, disappointing 35-20 loss to Syracuse. We're going to talk about some numbers that you just can't have and win football games. 7 fumbles, 3 lost, over 100 yards in penalties. A opposing quarterback that ran for the most yards by a Purdue opposing quarterback in the history of the program, if my ciphering is correct. None of that's good. Tom, I guess first I want to ask you just kind of what the mood was post game, but also just, you know, again, those numbers just don't add up to good things if you're Purdue.
The mood, Alan, you want me to capture the mood? somber. Yeah. Muted, melancholy. Yeah, just as you would suspect, right? This game just never really felt like it was on course for Purdue.
And yeah, I would agree.
And I feel silly now wondering why Vegas made Syracuse a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, me too.
They took care of business. You know, just that with that drive in the first half, guys, when they got to the 5-yard line, 4th and 1, they could have kicked a field goal, tried a short field goal. They went for it. Card gets stuffed, fumbles the ball. And that sort of seemed to be a portent of things to come and set the tone for what we saw all night, right? You talked about it off the top, Alan, the turnovers. 4 turnovers, the penalties, guys, 11 penalties for 127 yards. This is a Purdue team that had no turnovers coming into the game. They certainly made up for it tonight, right? And 7 fumbles, man. It's sort of like those Oklahoma teams that ran the wishbone under Barry Switzer a couple of times, you know? But my gosh, I mean, you can sound the alarm on a lot of different things tonight. The wheels came off, and now what? Now what? But we can get into that a little bit later. But, yeah, just overall, just disappointing. There's no other way you can really capitalize this or sum it in any other way than to say disappointing. Just about in every facet, guys, right down to a missed extra point that made it 28-20 instead of 28-21. On and on, a win on a night that was certainly disappointing, like I said, on many fronts.
Yeah, you know, the attention to detail – which at least on the surface in the first 2 weeks, Mike, was good because Purdue didn't turn the ball over. They didn't have an abundance of penalties. Quarterback did get sacked last week, but you know it seemed like that was a situation where you have that and all those factors just don't make it work well.
No, they don't. And I would add to Tom's comment about the room. You know, some of it was perplexing. Like, you know, you're trying to, you know, they're not going to have answers after the game, but these are questions that don't have answers because why do you fumble? Why do you have the penalties that you had? Granted, there were phantom calls there, but you don't have 11 phantom calls in a game when you have 11 penalties. So, and then the short yardage situations to me is the most bothersome thing because it's a 3-game trend. I know they're not running the same play over and over on 3rd and 4th and short, but it appears that they're running in the same vicinity every time. You know, we really haven't seen anything new in those situations, maybe trying to get out on the edge or something else. Yes. They tried to throw the ball on 4th down on their last possessions when the game was close, but they really haven't tried anything different based on what I've seen the first 3 games to have more success in those situations. And you know, I think they have to be a little bit more creative in those things. And also, you know, don't put yourself in 3rd and short and 4th and short. Be better on 1st down and 2nd down to try to avoid those situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really frustrating that first possession too when you're at 2nd and 1, like I said, and you have 3 shots and you can't get a yard to 5. And admittedly, the 4th down play, he fumbles, and that's actually was Purdue's first turnover. But Yeah, I also thought maybe it's overly simplified, but just no sense that, and maybe it's a trend for three games, kind of not getting teams off balance in any way, shape, or form. I mean, nobody, Hudson Card's throwing the ball well. Yassin was terrific in a lot of ways tonight, seems to be catching a dang near everything. But there's no, I'm not just talking trick plays, I'm just talking about getting somebody on their heels. It just doesn't seem like that's happening. Is that the way you see it, Tom?
Yeah, I agree. Not a lot of super big plays either.
Biggest yard, 25 yards, right?
Yeah, not a lot of explosive ability. They did a better job of getting Deion Burks involved. I was a little flummoxed or vexed when he was only targeted four times and caught one pass last week. And I know defenses want to take him away. But you know what? Offenses still find ways to get their best players the ball. And Purdue did a better job of getting Deion Burks involved tonight. 8 targets, 4 catches. And they got to get him the ball any way, shape, or form that they can. I thought they did a better job of that tonight. You talked about Yassin. He continues to emerge as sort of a possession guy. I know he works real hard. I know the staff likes him a lot. So he's becoming a nice weapon too. And Max Clair continues to shine. But guys, yeah. I know he had his problems securing the ball tonight, but Devin Mockaby, you know, I still think he's obviously maybe the key guy on this offense. And if he's playing well, it seems like Purdue's offense is humming. He didn't play well tonight. He never really got on track at all. Just 12 carries, 31 yards, a long run of 9. I thought Tyrone Tracy did some nice things too. Mm-hmm. A little bit more physical, but still, guys, 80 yards rushing for Purdue. I know there's some sack yardage in there, but lost yardage. But still, they can never really get anything going on the ground against that 3-3-5 Syracuse defense.
Yeah, I struggle with a little bit with the scheme. It just seems like, too, that somebody pointed this out, I think, on our message boards this week. And, again, I'm not the offensive coordinator, but you look at the – you'd like to have Devin with a little more of a head of steam. You know, sometimes he gets that ball handed off to him in the shotgun and he's standing there for the first 2 steps with an offensive line that's not been all that special just yet to certainly challenge. That's tough, but you got to get him going. And it's kind of like, yes, Tyrone Tracy certainly was good, but you got to get Devin Mockaby. You got to get through the fumble issues. I mean, Mike, you got to look at that and say, that dance with he's if Purdue's going to have success, Devin Mockaby's going to have to be a big part of that offense. They're not going to go away from that, I wouldn't think, even with the fumbles.
No, they won't, and I don't think you push the panic button with him on the fumbles, because this was one game. Now, if you see it continue down the road, then you may have to adjust a little bit. But you know, I think at one point Purdue was averaging 1.6 or 1 point yards per carry, and I know sacks were involved in that a little bit and some negative yardage, but that's Purdue needs more production out of its running game, whether it's Mockaby, whether it's Tracy, whether it's Dylan Downing, or maybe even more importantly Hudson Card. There were probably a couple times tonight where he should have kept it and allow him to help in that running game. I know he scored on the touchdown on the run, but I think that might have been more of a scramble play than anything else. So they need to get their rushing yardage from a lot of different people. Mockaby obviously is the main guy in that room and the main force, but it's got to be a collective effort, because you know, they don't have that star power in the receiving game, although Deion Burks has really stepped up. You know, you see him stepped up tonight, but they need a little bit more production from everybody to really push this offense forward.
Yeah, I don't think there's a margin for error there. We've seen that in 3 weeks, really. I mean, that's just not – yeah, I know you had 35 points against Fresno State, but, you know, we know how they got the points in a couple situations there too. So, Tom, you look at – you know, Deion Burks, I think you're right. He does – he certainly passes the eyeball test. You watch him – he can make things happen. They've got to get him even 8 targets is good. And I know that everybody will call for trick plays and do something, but again, it's the, you know, find a way to get him the football. if you got to have him run the dang thing or whatever, you got to get him the ball. And I think that that's something that you would think would have to work on from there. All right. So it's never as good as it seems or as bad as it seems. Seems kind of bad right now with Purdue. All of a sudden we were saying, well, wait, they're going to win. They might win three games in the month of September. Well, maybe not now, but college football is a week to week proposition. Purdue now has to go back to the drawing board against a team that it hasn't beaten since 1997, but who's counting? Against the Badgers in Ross-Ade Stadium, a Wisconsin team that also was tied at halftime, but took care of business in the second half in its win today. But that's going to be a challenge. Does it help them, Tom, that they, in some ways, it, you play a little bit faster, you got a day earlier. Does that help a Purdue team that needs to put this game in the rearview mirror, or would you like to have another day to prepare with a team that's still trying to get to know each other? Or does it matter? I mean, yeah, I'm trying to throw stuff out there. Yeah.
I think anytime you get more time, it's a benefit. But yeah, if you're Purdue, you want to get this in the rearview mirror as quickly as you can. You want to learn, obviously, not repeat mistakes, try to get better. But boy, here come the Badgers. And like you said, Alan, you never want to go jump off the roof. These results can be so crazy from week to week. One week you think you're a national champ. The next week you think you should shut your program down. So we've all seen a lot of crazy results over the years, week to week. So who knows? And you mentioned, not that history matters, but the morbid history in this series, the last 25, 26 years, Alan, you said the last win in Ross-Ade against these guys was 97, Joe Tiller's first season. Well, Tiller's been deceased about 4 years, and now there's a tunnel named in his honor. That's how long ago it was. Of course, they beat him in Madison a couple times, but still, yeah, this has been a tormentor. So this would be a heck of a win if Purdue could get this monkey off its back and get back on track as a program. But tall task. The Badgers are in transition, like Purdue, with the new coaching staff, Luke Fickell. You know, they got a new offense that they're running as well with a new quarterback from SMU. So, yeah, they're still trying to feel their way around too. So just a great opportunity if you're Purdue, right? Doesn't get any easier. So we'll see if they can rebound. And you know, guys, I'd be interested what you thought ahead of Hudson Card tonight, the type of game you thought he had. I thought overall he was pretty solid. Mike talked about maybe the need to run a little bit more. He was under some duress at times, but I thought he delivered some pretty nice passes too.
Yeah, I mean, hard to argue with his numbers. Mike, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I think his numbers are good, but it's hard to get past the fumbles. Yeah. And one of them was on a sack, on a strip sack. So that's not really his his fault. But you have to, and I think that his interception was tipped, but still they're turnovers. Yeah. They stopped drives. Yeah, he had good numbers, and he put some passes on the money tonight. But those turnovers are going to overshadow, I think, anything moving forward. And I'm going to shift gears a little bit, but the one thing we haven't talked about yet, and I think may become a big deal, is Kydren Jenkins did not play in the second half. Huge. And
yeah, doesn't sound good, right?
Yeah, if he's out for an extended period of time here, that's going to put more stress on that defense, because Jenkins and Scrouton were playing really well in these first two and a half games.
Yeah.
And they were the anchors of this defense. There were guys that you had to game plan around. And, you know, Will Held got a fast taste of what big time college football is going to be like. And if he's got to take Jenkins' spot, then, you know, he's got to learn really quickly now. And there were probably a couple plays tonight that they went after him and had success. But I think that's probably the key thing going into next week, is the health of Jenkins. And then what happens after that?
Yeah, Garrett Schrader, I think they feasted on him. I mean, obviously, Schrader had a lot of yards in the first half, but
right.
I thought they took advantage of You know, and again, Will Helts in game number three of his career playing on a defensive line or a defensive end position. That's a lot. I'm with you on that. I think it is all part of what Purdue just does not have a lot of margin for error. We've kind of knew that it got it. And then if you shoot yourself in the rear end, it ain't going to work. And this is one game where it happened. It doesn't have to be that way next week. They didn't do it in the first two games in terms of turnovers. But, yeah, I thought, you know, you look at Card's turnovers, obviously the fumble on the fourth down. Going back and looking, I have to watch it again. I didn't really, you know, the Tracy fumble, the fumble when he was, it looked like Tracy kind of not may have knocked the ball again, but he was not, didn't handle the ball off the snap. So it was a problem from the get-go. Hard to know there. But yeah, you just can't, and like you said, good court and Hudson Card, though I don't know him that well, but seems to be a guy who's going to take responsibility for it and try to figure out a way to move forward. And Purdue's just going to have to do that if it's going to have some success. So, Tom, any other parting shots here as we close this down? It's enough to talk about a 20-minute or a 15-point loss at home at 12:30 at night.
Yeah, not much. I think we summed it up pretty well here. You know, I think the staff knows what it's got in front of it. We thought the offensive line was going to have its issues this year. That's certainly proven to be the case.
Yeah.
And now's not the time you get better, right, as far as your personnel. You got to do that in the offseason. So they got to figure out how to make this work with who they've got. Right. And that's where the challenge lies.
Yeah. One thing I will say to ask both of you, I mean, great crowd tonight. I mean, you can't have a better environment. And I thought that the fact that Purdue did not score on that first drive really hurt it, just because it could have really, you know, momentum ends after a while. You know, I understand that, that inability to do. But what a great crowd and a great environment here tonight. At least till halfway through the second half. But and then when it got to be a little bit out of control. But Mike, your parting comments or moments of brilliance as we end up in this podcast.
Well, as I was saying on the way out, this would be the right opportunity to remind people that Purdue was 1-2 last year after losing to Syracuse. And I'm not saying the same thing is going to happen down the road that happened last year, because you got a different team, you got different players, you got different coaches, right, you got a different scheme, you got a different schedule. I mean, all those things are different. You didn't have Ohio State and Michigan on your schedule last year. But the point is that a lot of these players have been in the same position. So how do they pick themselves up out of it? You know, it's going to be important if you've got a coaching staff that really is going to be tested now, because you have turnover issues you had to deal with tonight. And, you know, I don't think you push the panic button on that because it's one game. But if that trend continues, then you've got to fix, you know, you have to fix some things. But, you know, they're going to face a different kind of Wisconsin team than they've played in the past. You know, Wisconsin had five interceptions today against Georgia Southern. So they're out there going after the ball. And if Purdue cannot still have ball, get back to having ball security, then, you know, next week could be a really long night for Purdue. So, you know, this team bounced back after losing to Fresno State. It's going to have the same focus again, but, you know, a potential key injury could play a big role, not only in next week, but down the line here.
Fresno State, by the way, I think was putting it to Arizona State for, again, talking about how things go and what changes from that standpoint. Again, it's a college football season, and we'll see how it plays out next Friday night when the Badgers come to town. 7 p.m. kick. I think we'll find out the Illinois start time on Monday, somebody said, for that homecoming battle on September 30th. Want to thank the Union Club Hotel, the Boiler Up Bar, for its support. We appreciate them. We also want to remind folks that you can become, you know, you watch us on YouTube, and Mike Carmen and Tom Dienhart and Brian Newbert give you a lot of good analysis. think about subscribing. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. We've got a great community at goldenblack.com. We'll embrace you if you come to the site, so to speak, but we would love to have you do that. And there's a dollar deal still going for the first month. If you have interest in joining goldenblack.com, now's the time. So basketball not too far around the corner as well. So a lot to talk about on the site. Guys, thanks so much. Thanks for hanging in there for a late evening. And we'll look forward to talking on another late. It'll be another late evening next Friday night after this is over as well. But we'll look forward to doing that as well. So have a great rest of your Sunday. And thanks to all of you for watching and listening and enjoying our content, however you choose to enjoy it. Have a great weekend, everybody.